Okay, Rabosai, we're continuing our study of Hilchos Shabbos. If all goes well, so then today will be the shiur that will complete our discussion of Hilchos Shabbos. And Be'ezras Hashem, I will prepare a bechina and send out to you. It's possible that we won't get to everything that I plan to get into today, in which case we'll have to have a shiur tomorrow, but Be'ezras Hashem will try to complete everything today. There are a few peiros hanoshrim from our discussion yesterday about hachazara. If you remember, yesterday we spoke about hachazara, and the way we defined hachazara is like the classical definition of hachazara, which means that a pot which is on the fire, b'hachnasas hashabbos, you're going to put that pot back on the fire during Shabbos. According to the Mechaber, there's only one real criteria, that you should not be meniach agave karka. According to the Ramah, we also have the additional criteria of odon b'yado and daitola hachazir. We also noted that the Mechaber has a criteria called shia adayin osachas. The Mishnah Berurah understood what that meant was a din and dine bishul, but the Magen Avraham understands that that's a din and dine hachazara, which means that you're only allowed to return a food if it still is hot, because kol zman that it's hot, that indicates that the original shehiyah has not yet completed, and I'm just continuing the original process. That was our basic discussion yesterday regarding hachazara. Now, there is a subset of hachazara which is called nesin l'chatchila. Nesin l'chatchila basically means that I have food which was not on the fire b'hachnasas HaShabbos, and I want to now put that food on the fire on Shabbos. Now, that would be asur l'chatchila, no? Nesin l'chatchila, to take food that was not on the fire, to put it on the fire, is absolutely asur. However, we noted when we learned Shin Yod Ches that there are ways of heating food, or I shouldn't say heating, I'll use the term warming. There are ways of warming food even if it was not on the fire b'tchilas HaShabbos. One way for this is called smicha, that you put the food next to the fire, not on the fire itself. You put it next to the oven, etc. We noted that you're only allowed to do this if you're putting the food in a location where it could never come to Yad Zola Despo. Although Rashi permits doing this, if I leave the food and I have in mind to pick it up before it gets to Yad Zola Despo, according to Rashi, that's permitted. Nonetheless, Shulchan Aruch followed the Rush that it's only going to be permitted if it's a location that it cannot come to Yad Zoled Espo, because if it comes to Yad Zoled Espo, at least for a liquid, there's going to be an issue of bishul. That would imply, however, that for a solid food, it's permitted to do smicha. For a solid food, I'm allowed to, like, doing smicha, by the way, is not the same thing that we're trying to do. We're trying to get smicha. Doing smicha means putting the food next to the oven. So we pask in like the Rush that you should not put a liquid next to the oven. A solid l'cha'ora would be permitted ayidei smicha. We also had the discussion about what we'll call the upper level, putting a food on top of a pot when the pot is already on the oven. We noted a discussion in the Rabbeinu Yeruchim Shulchanach in Shin Yud Chesiv Zayin and Sif Ches, whether that's considered like the food is directly on the fire, and consequently, is there a concern of Shami Yachata Begacholim? Although the Shulchanach on Sif Ches says that the minig is wahakel, but he does not say that in Sif Zayin, and we discussed that as well. We also noted, with respect to the upper level, a discussion in Simin Reish Nun Gimel. Simin Reish Nun Gimel, Se'if Gimel says, if I wake up in the morning, I notice that my cholent is burning, so what I'm allowed to do is put an inverted pan on top of the fire, and then put my cholent there. But, Shulchan Aruch says, I can only do that if I fulfill the conditions of Hachazara. Meaning, I take that pot which is beginning to burn, I pick it up, according to the Ramah, lohiniach agave karka, according to the Mechaber, then I'm allowed to put it on an inverted pan. However, if I don't fulfill the conditions of Hachazara, according to Shulchan Aruch and Reishon and Gimel Se'if Gimel, it would be Aser. We noted, however, that Shulchan Aruch and Reishon and Gimel Se'if Hey sounds like it's permitted to put something on the second level, and this was a contradiction that the Bir Halacha was sensitive to. In Shulchan Aruch, Reishon and Gimel Se'if Hey, it basically says that you ought to put a pandish on top of a pot. So we had a number of explanations. We had the explanation of the Dogomei Revava. Dogomei Revava says you're only allowed to put a pandish there because a pandish is something that you will never cook on top of a pot. A pandish gets baked. You're allowed to put a pandish and only a pandish on the second level. We noted that the Magen Avraham had a distinction between liquids and solids. And we noted that the Prima Gadim, and the Bir Halacha prefers this Prima Gadim, the Prima Gadim says that it's mutter to put the food, Nesina Lechatchila, is mutter to take cold, dry food and put it on top of a full pot, but not on top of an empty pot. That was the condition that the Prima Gadim said. So l'cha'ora, according to the Prima Gadim, you're not allowed to take a kugel out of the refrigerator Shabbos morning and put it on your plata or put it on your blech. That's going to be absolutely usser because that would be some sort of iser hachazara. It's nesina l'chatchila done in the wrong way. There still might be a concern of shema Yechate begecholim, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. There still might be a concern of mechzik and mevashel, according to the majority of Rishonim. And therefore, the Pashto says you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to do it if it's on top of a full pot. That is the conclusion of the Prima Gadim. Based on this, years ago, they came up with something called the Kedera Blech. Most of you probably don't remember the Kedera Blech because it's not like in vogue anymore. Rabbi Israel probably remembers when they were selling Kedera Blechs all the time. The Kedera Blech was like a blech, but the Kedera... So, we'll talk about whether... Right, so Rabbi Israel still has a Kedera Blech, which he used in a 3-day yontif. The advantage of a Kedera Blech is that it's a blech, it's like a thin piece of metal, but it's not really one piece of metal. It's really two pieces of metal, and you put water inside it. And once I'm putting water inside it, so then what I'm doing is I am taking my kugel out of the refrigerator, and I'm putting it on top of a full pot, which the Prima Gadim permits, because I have water inside that that area, inside that empty space. I fill it up with water, so effectively I am putting my kugel on top of a full pot. It's the equivalent of putting a kugel on top of a chalon pot, and it's grand. So that is the Eitzah of the Kedera Blech. Now, there was a whole literature, and this is what Rabbi Israel was referring to. As long as I don't tell people that it's forbidden, it's okay to talk about this. So, there was a whole literature. Some poskim did not like the Kedera Blech. And they said that the idea that the Prima Gadim says, that I'm allowed to put food on top of a pot, is because I'm effectively really cooking the lower pot. The second story is not my intention of cooking. That second story looks like a nachepes. It looks like some extra thing that you just have, but it's not really what appears to be cooked. If that's the case, some contend that a Kedera Blech is not permitted because the average onlooker is going to say, hey, what's going on here? Right? He's not going to think that you're really cooking the water in the blech. He's going to think that maybe what you are doing is you are cooking on top of the blech, and it looks like you're heating the kugel directly. It's the same as putting the kugel on the plain blech itself, where we have a concern, the Mechzik HaMevashel and Shema Yechat HaBegecholem. Now, there are a few things to be said. Thing one is that there are different types of Kedera blechs, if I remember correctly. Some of the Kedera blechs have a spigot that you could open, and you'll take the water out of it and use that water to make tea. Obviously, you have to be careful not to take all the water out, because then the thing can go bad. But if you're really using it to make tea, so whatever concern I have that it does not look like I'm cooking the bottom pot, it only appears like I'm cooking the top pot, I think is voided. Because ostensibly, people will look at it and they'll say, oh, that bottom thing is something that's used. It's not just that it's full of water, but if you actually use it to make tea, that should be okay. There's another cheshbin, however, to permit the kedera blech. And this cheshbin would work on any plata, according to Rabbi Willi. Let's go slowly. When I talk about hachazora or nesina lechatchila, so there are two possible issues. The majority of Rishonim say that one issue is that it's mechzik mevashel. It looks like I'm cooking. Some Rishonim, however, say, the Rabbi Nutam says, that there's a concern of shema yechata begecholam. Let's say I have a plata that is non-adjustable. You can't turn it up or down. It has one temperature setting. So if that's the case, it has one temperature setting, so there's no concern of shema yechata begecholam, no? Now, mechzik mevashel, does it look like I'm cooking? So Rabbi Willig argues in his Hebrew Sefer Am Mordechai, and he repeats this in his English book that we quote, Rabbi Willig argues that he thinks that it's not mechzik mevashel, because no one in their right mind would cook on one of these things. In our world, I cook on range tops. In our world, I cook on a standard cooking device. No one cooks on a plata. So therefore, a plata is going to be permitted, says Rabbi Willig, because if it's non-adjustable, there's no mechzik mevashel. Excuse me, if it's non-adjustable, there's no shema yechata begecholam. And since no one cooks on it, there's no mechzik mevashel. So therefore, all is grand. Therefore, it's permitted. That's why Rabbi Willig permits a plata. Now, with respect to a kedera blech, it would seem that if the kedera blech is on top of a range top, and you want to, and it's possible to be mechata, so if you do the trick that we said before of removing the knob, or the trick that we said before of perhaps taping it up, so then the kedera blech is for sure okay. There would be no question at all. Because I void the issue of mechzik mevashel, because I'm cooking the lower pot, not the upper pot. Since it opens up and I can get water for tea out of it, I'm cooking the lower pot, not the upper pot. And if you're worried about shema yechata, so we can void the issue of shema yechata by just taping up the knobs and or removing the knobs. And it seems to me like since these issues are not so difficult, it is not a bad idea. But let's talk. Rabbi Israel raised his hand. So let's talk to Rabbi Israel.
I'm pleased with your response. One of the other complaints I've heard is that unlike Burger King that eats their hamburgers on an open flame, McDonald's makes their hamburgers directly on a flat iron surface.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I've heard people say that since the kedera blech looks like a regular blech, and there is such a thing as, I don't know if they call it frying or whatever it is, but it's not open flame, that's similar to the way people cook.
Right. So that, again, that argument, I've never heard that argument of McDonald's versus Burger King before, especially to talk about McDonald's in the halakhic context, is interesting. But
what happens on Zoom stays on Zoom.
Right. What happens on Zoom stays on Zoom. So that argument would also forbid the plata. Rabbi Willig's argument to permit a plata, because it doesn't look like you're cooking at all, it's not Mexican mevashel, if what they have in McDonald's is like a flat surface, it's almost like a plain long griddle, right? So then it could be that a plata is Mexican mevashel as well. I don't have strong opinions about this, but let me tell you what I've said in the past. Rabbi Willig wrote this idea in his Hebrew language sefer, the Am Mordechai on Shabbos. Rabbi Willig asked Rav Yehoshua Neubert, the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, for Haskama on the sefer. Someone should write a doctoral dissertation about this, like called Haskamas which are non-Haskamas, no? So Rabbi Neubert gives a Haskama to Rabbi Willig's sefer. And the Haskama basically says, you permit the non-adjustable hot plate. I think you're absolutely wrong. Even though you don't cook on it, I know people who cook on it. He says, Sfaradim cook on it. Right? That would be almost the equivalent to your McDonald's. By the way, I'm not Chas v'Shalom equating Sfaradim to people eating McDonald's. But you understand the point that I'm getting at. Rav Neubert says, since some people cook on it, he argues Sfaradim do cook on it. Rabbi Willig, in response, in his English language book, says, yeah, maybe people cook on the Israeli type of platas, which get super hot. The American platas don't get that hot, and no one cooks on it. If you remember a couple years ago, there was like a terrible tragedy that an entire family died in a fire. And they died in the fire because their plata overheated. They were using an Israeli plata, which gets super hot, and it unfortunately created a fire. I think only the father survived, right? Nebuch, it was like a terrible thing, like 7 children passed away, like a terrible, terrible thing. So Rabbi Willig says, maybe the Israeli hot plates get so hot that people could cook on it, but the American hot plates don't. Now, one could counter that argument and say, well, the Israeli plates get hotter, but an American hot plate also gets to the place that you could cook on it, especially to cook liquids. It certainly gets to Yad Soledespo. So maybe it should be a problem. A few years ago, one of the buildings in the Heights, 666 Wadsworth, was a famous building because when Rabbi Moshe David Tendler first got married, that's the building that he lived in, and apparently Rav Moshe Feinstein spent one Shabbos in YU when he was visiting his son-in-law and daughter, Rabbi Tendler, etc., and he was in that building. So it's like a really famous building. So a couple years ago, 666 Wadsworth had an issue that there was no gas for like a year. There was like a major problem. So how do people cook? So the owners of the building gave everybody like a one burner to cook on, and a lot of people also cooked on a plata. There were people in the building who I know who cooked on a plata. It's doable. Now, there are different ways of reading a Tshuva Nigras Moshe, but Rav Moshe permits a plata for Hanacha L'Chatchila, according to one version, only if it's impossible to cook on. According to the other version, he permits it if you don't cook on it. The second version of Rav Moshe that's permitted if you don't cook on it might be based on this opinion of the Dago Meirivava. Remember, the Dago Meirivava says a pnadish and a pnadish alone can be put on top of a pot because no one cooks a pnadish on top of a pot. That would mean, l'cha'ora, that if I have food that nobody cooks on top of a plata, it's going to be permitted. Even people who cook on top of a plata, they're not going to cook a chicken on top of a plata. No? They're not going to cook a whole potato kugel on top of a plata. Right? So, foods that you would never put on it, Rabbi Willig feels it is permitted. But again, according to the other version of Rav Moshe, if it's possible to cook on it, then it's going to be forbidden. I don't have a strong opinion about the plata, standard modern Orthodox families certainly use the platas, and they take food out of the refrigerator and they put on a non-adjustable hot plate, and certainly there is what to rely on. I, however, like to give shiurim, and when you give shiurim, you sometimes present possibilities, questions, etc. Let's go on.
Just one last thing. You might have spoken on the Shahia piece that I missed. Are you going? Is the rabbi going to discuss the warming drawer?
Yes, let's talk about a warming drawer right now. That's actually what I was about to talk about, a warming drawer. So warming drawers are adjustable. There are two settings, as far as I understand. There is a higher setting and a lower setting. And a warming drawer is only used for warming. It's called a warming drawer. No one ever cooks on it. Rabbi Willa contends, therefore there is no mechzi kimavashel. And if you're worried about Shema Yechate, so you could take the knob off, etc., then the warming drawer would be fine. Now, the challenge over here becomes as follows. If I'm worried about Rav Neubert's idea that something that theoretically could cook is a problem, then the warming drawer should also be a problem. And if you want to use a warming drawer with some sort of blech, and you don't want to take off the knobs, because my understanding is that taking off the knobs could be difficult in the warming drawer, you might not be able to put them back on, so you could tape the knobs up. Rabbi Willig, for some reason, his book doesn't give that etza. Rabbi Willig thinks that the better etza is that you put some tin foil into the drawer. He says, well, putting the tin foil into the drawer means that for sure it's something that you don't cook on. It's for sure not the normal way of cooking. Now, you could tell me that that doesn't help because it's not noticeable. So says Rabbi Willig, what you should do is drape some of the tinfoil over the outside of the warming drawer so that it's really noticeable that it's blecht. That's his basic idea of warming drawers. It's found in this English language Rabbi Willig book on page 124. Page 124... and 125, Rabbi Willig quotes this, and his approach to a warming drawer is that placing anew in the warming drawer does not look like cooking, since no one cooks there. If so, if there's a plastic cover or the equivalent of an adjustable knob, which prevents the concern for adjusting, you may put cold, dry food anew in the warming drawer. Many pieces of tape also help. That's Rabbi Willig's argument. So you have to solve the issue of Shema Yechate by taking off the knob or taping it up very well, and then you could solve the problem of Mechzi Kimavashel because no one cooks inside of warming drawers. My only ha'ara about a warming drawer is the questions based on what Rav Neubert said and based on the two versions of what Rav Moshe said, I think should apply to a warming drawer as well. I'm not sure, however, if warming drawers get that hot. Do warming drawers get as hot as a plata? My understanding is that, especially if the warming drawer is set on low, so it can never get to that temperature. And no one, perhaps, would ever cook on it. A plata, theoretically, you could cook on. My understanding is that warming drawers do not reach that temperature. Again, I don't have one at home. I don't know. But it could be that there's more room to be mako on the warming drawer than there is on the plata itself, because on the plata, maybe theoretically you could cook. In the warming drawer, I don't know if theoretically you could cook at all. Maybe you could cook water. Certainly you could not even theoretically cook anything else. That's my understanding, but I'd be really interested to hear if I'm right or wrong about this point. Okay, gentlemen, so that was our conversations about Hanocha L'Chatchila, about taking food out of the refrigerator and then putting it on the and then putting it on the plata or on the or in the warming jar. There is a discussion in the Gemara that hachazara is only permitted on a kira, meaning on top of a kira. You cannot do hachazara in a tanur. A tanur, unlike a kira, is basically where you cook the food inside. A kira has two levels. You cook the food inside or on top. We only permit hachazara on top of a kira. We don't permit hachazara into the kira. And we don't permit hachazara in a tanur. And the reason for that is, the Rishonim explain, a tanur gets very, very hot. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that our tanurim do not get that hot. And the reason why they don't get that hot is because we have a thermostat, so the temperature is set that it can't get beyond, again, he doesn't tell me how hot too hot is, but the temperature is set in a way that there's a thermostat that's going to go off, so therefore, Rav Moshe feels that our tanurim have the status of a kira. Nonetheless, if I want to do hachazare into a tanur, I can only do it when there's a blech. Right? We mentioned that to do hachazara, right, you need, everyone holds, it has to be grufo k'tuma, everybody holds you need a blech. How do I do a blech on the tanur? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that what you need is like a box. The box has like four sides, and you have to put that box in your oven, and that would suffice. Others say that no, all you have to do is put some piece of metal between the heating element and where you put the food. Since in an oven, however, there is a heating element at the bottom and at the top, what you'd have to do is put a piece of metal at the bottom, on the bottom shelf, another piece of metal on the top of the middle shelf, and put the food inside the middle shelf. Effectively, most poskim assume, Rav Rimon deals with this on page like 356, 357, most poskim feel that you don't need the Rav Moshe of a box that covers it on four sides, but to have a blech on a oven, to put an oven in the sense of where you put the food inside, you would really need to cover the heating element at the bottom and to cover the heating element at the top and to only put the food in the middle. It's also a good idea, of course, to cover the knobs, or that would certainly be okay. Alternatively, like we mentioned, based on the Shulchan Aruch, that for Ashkenazim at least, removing the knobs should help, or covering the knobs over should help, so then that would be okay as well. However, removing knobs perhaps only helps for the din of Shehiyah. Shehiyah is a concern of Shema Yechata. By Hachazara, where there's also the concern of Mechzika Mevashel, so then removing the knobs on its own might not help, because there still is the concern of Mechzi Kemavashel. Therefore, excuse me one second. Tina, what is it? Is this someone from... What? Delivery, yeah, please bring it in, yeah. Thank you very much. Tina, would you mind just like unloading it? I'm just teaching my class now. Would you mind just helping him take it out of the... I'm teaching my class. Thank you. Okay, so that is... So again, so removing the knobs themselves would be all that is needed by Shehiyah, where the only concern is Shema Yechata, but by an oven, where there's a concern of Mechzika Mevashel, so then, L'cha'ora, you would need the additional idea of the box, or putting the metal on top and on bottom, etc., and that should work for hachazara inside an oven. That l'cha'ora is what should emerge. Deep breath. Okay, any questions on our discussions about hachazara and hanocha l'chatchila? Okay, excellent. So now I just want to move on to the last topic, the last Isser D'Rabbanon in Bishol, called Hatmana, which is insulating. It's interesting that in Rabbi Willig's English language book, he does not deal with insulating at all. He feels that it's not a relevant enough topic to address. Mr. Zolti, how is Judaism?
Yeah, we have a question on the ovens. So if I did do this, I took off the cover, I took off the knobs, and I guess made a box in my oven. So I'd be able to just leave the oven on Shabbos. I'm not concerned about it, about me opening it, affecting the fire.
So now, so that's a very good point. In other words, the ovens, there's an additional concern that Rav Rimon spends a lot of time on. And the concern is that when I open the oven, so the temperature will go down, and when I close it, the temperature will go up, and it could be it's a psik resha that this will happen. Now, this concern is true certainly by warming cabinets as well. Often you could see they have like a temperature, and you could see it go down and up, etc. The only thing is, it depends on your oven, it depends on how good your thermostat is. Rav Rimon says that if you know that the oven is on, so then there's no problem opening it because you're not adjusting the thermostat at all. You're not making it get hotter. Additionally, Rav Rimon says if it's not on, you can open the oven like with your elbow, kel achar yad, and then it will be ayidei a shinui, and ayidei a shinui since it's only a grama, and therefore it's permitted. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes that he thinks all of these ovens are not really a psik resha. When I open the oven, if I open it very quickly, and I close it very quickly, will the temperature go down and then go up? So again, you have to be an expert in your oven and in the thermostats, etc. It's entirely possible that it won't go up and down. If you open it quickly, you don't spend a lot of time, then you close it quickly, it could be you won't adjust the temperature. Today they have Shabbos mode ovens. Shabbos mode ovens solve this problem. Ostensibly, what a Shabbos mode oven does is it makes it that when I open the door, it will not have the temperature go down rapidly, and then when I close it, it won't go up rapidly. It will keep the temperature stable, and that's a big advantage of a Shabbos mode oven. If you don't have a Shabbos mode oven, so opening it up with a shinui is not that big of a deal. Even if you're not opening it with a shinui, Rav Moshe Feinstein feels there is room to be makel, because he feels it's not a psik resha. I know that I live in the Heights. We have these old-fashioned landlord special ovens. The old-fashioned landlord special oven is the same type of oven that Rav Moshe was talking about. The ovens have not changed since the 1960s. The ovens in the standard New York City apartments have not changed from the 1960s till now. If that's the case, so then, you know, Rav Moshe's kula that it's not a psik resha, I think, again, I don't know. I've never used an oven thermometer and checked, etc. But I believe that it might actually not be a psik resha, and therefore it should be okay. Did that answer your question, Yoni?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're ready to move on to hatmana, to insulating food. And this topic, as we mentioned, is not particularly relevant. The Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Bamet Tomnin tells us that there are certain items which are Mosifim Hevel. Mosif Hevel means somehow that when you insulate something, you completely envelop, let's say, a pot of food with Gefes, right? Or that's residue from a olive press or the like. So it gets hotter. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it seems to me that what this means is this might mean something akin to what happens if you have a composting pit, right? My understanding is that those people who compost will tell you, if you're like a granola enough type of person, you do composting, so they'll tell you that the stuff actually gets hot. That you could, right, when you have all this organic matter and it's together, it actually does generate a certain amount of heat. That's my understanding of the Gemara about Mosif Hevel, although the poskim say that we have no idea what the Mishnah means about Mosif Hevel, what these things are, like Fashteyach Nisht, I just don't understand any of it. Okay. Be it as it may, the Gemara on Lamed Daled Amid Beis tells me that there are two different dinim of hatmana. There's hatmana by yadavar hamosif heva, which are all those things that are mentioned in the Mishnah at the beginning of Bamet Tomlin. And hatmana by yadavar hamosif heva is usher even miba'od yom. Even on Friday, you cannot do hatmana on the davar that's mosif heva. That's what the Gemara says. And the reason for that is a gezeira shema yatmin beremetz. Remetz is a mixture of ashes and coals. If we'd allow you to be matmin and with a davar that's mosif hevel, something that the heat increases, you might be matmin. You might insulate your pot also with remetz, with this mixture of ashes and coals. And then you might be mechata begecholim. Then you might stoke the coals. So therefore we say it's usher. Hatmana by yadavar hamosif hevel is usher ultimately. Shema yechata begecholim. Hatmana with a davar that is maimed hevel. Hatmana was something that does not get hotter, but it just retains the heat. So such hatmana is only usher on Shabbos, gezeira shemiyartiyach, because if I'm so worried about my pot getting cold, we're worried that you might actually take the pot and cook it. So let's review for a second. There are two types of hatmana. There's hatmana by davar hamosif hevel, which is forbidden even on Erev Shabbos, because of a concern ultimately of shemiyachata begecholim. And then there's hatmana by something that retains the heat, which is usser. Hatmana with something that retains the heat is usser because of a gezeira shema yartiyach, and that isser applies on Shabbos itself. Grand. Now, in our world, as we mentioned, we don't really have much of hatmana by davar hamosif hevel. When you're preparing for Shabbos on Friday, the likelihood of having a davar that the heat increases, which is the only type of hatmana that's usher on Friday, it's not so likely. Nonetheless, there are a few cases of hatmana by davar hamosif hevel, but each case is actually subject to a machlokas harishonim. Each case is subject to a machlokas harishonim. The Ran on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and it's found in the Ran on the Rif at the beginning of Pemek Bamet Tomlin, they note that there's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yona. Let's say I have a pot. I have a pot that is not subject to the rules of Shehiyah. Shehiyah is mutter in this pot. The pot is on top of a blech. So even though it's somewhere between, it's not completely Ruah, it's not yet Maichel Ben Shusai, but it's on the blech, so it's permitted. So Shehiyah is mutter. Then I'm going to cover that pot on the blech with a towel. A towel is not Dover Ha Mosef Hevel. A towel, in the worst case scenario, is a Dover Ha Maimed Hevel. Says the Ramban, that's permitted, because 0 plus 0 equals 0. There's no Isra of Hatmana, because ultimately, it's Erev Shabbos. You're covering it with a towel. There's no Isser of Shehiyah, because it's on top of a blech. The fact that the fire underneath the blech makes it that it's hot, and it makes it that the towel is somehow increasing the heat, says the Ramban, you know what? Live a bifurcated life, and say 0 plus 0 equals 0, and there's no problem at all. That's what the Ramban says. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees with the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, 0 plus 0 equals usser. Ultimately, right now, I'm being matmin, and it's a davar hamosif hevel. I have a towel that's surrounding this pot, and this towel is mosif hevel because there's a fire underneath the blech where the pot is on. Mutter according to Ramban, usser according to the Rabbeinu Yonah. Shulchan Aruch leMechaber paskins like the Rabbeinu Yonah, Reish Nun Zayin Se'if Ches. That means that this double scenario of Hatmana, in the sense of putting a towel on top of a pot that's on the blech, according to Shulchan Aruch, it is going to be usser. Nonetheless, there has been a Sephardi practice against the Shulchan Aruch. Sfaradim generally follow the opinion of Maran HaMechaber, and right, they don't deviate at all, and it should be Osir, like Rabbeinu Yonah. But there's been a Sfaradi practice for many, many, many hundreds of years that they were Mekor like the Ramban. In the Sefer Shirat Hayam, he quotes this from a Sefer Netivei Am, never heard of it. Rav Rimon's Sefer just quotes that many Sfaradim are Mekor, and probably this Minhag predated the Shulchan Aruch. Many are Mekor. Based on this, Chacham Ovadia Yosef says that you could take a pot, have it on top of a plata, cover it with a towel, and it's going to be Heter Gomor. You know, they used to sell these pot covers that would say Shabbos Kodesh on them, no? You could go to Eichler's and buy them. I remember Rabbi Willey commenting the first time I did Hilchos Shabbos in Maror HaKol a bazillion years ago, or the first time I did it with Rabbi Willey in Maror HaKol a bazillion years ago, I'd done it myself a little bit beforehand. Rabbi Willey said it shouldn't say Shabbos cover, it should say Chilul Shabbos cover. Because you're covering the pot on top of a plat or on top of a blech, that is Hatumana B'davar Mosef Hevel, even from Erev Shabbos, this is Osir, 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 no Kula, Osir, Adkan. But Chacham Ovadia is Mekel. Chacham Ovadia is Mekel. Why is Chacham Ovadia Mekel? A, the Ramban. B, Chacham Ovadia quotes many poskim who assume that when I say that double situation is Osir, if I have a pot that is on top of coals and I cover it with a towel, that's going to be Osir. Shehiyah's mutter in that case. The towel is not Maisef Hevel, but still going to be Osir. But that might be when the pot is on coals. Because theoretically, the coals can be used to completely envelop the pot. But when I put my pot on top of my blech, or on top of my plata, the metal can't be bent. No normal person would bend that. Maybe the Incredible Hulk would do this, but no normal person would bend the metal so that it completely envelops the pot. So therefore, that is going to be mutter. It's another svara to be mekel, that it could be that there is zero hatmana on something that is not granular. That could be another svara for Chacham Ovadia's kula. Again, some suggest that this is the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch in, we saw in Shin Yud Ches Se'if Zayin Se'if Ches, says I could put a pot on top of a pot. It doesn't say it's usher to cover the pot. Maybe it's mutter to cover the pot. Aye, how can you do that? Isn't there a problem of Hatmana? The answer might be no, I'm putting it on top of a pot. When I put it on top of a pot, so that is not going to be a problem because a pot can't envelop a pot. Again, this is a somewhat difficult svara, but nonetheless, it's a possible kula for this practice. Rav Rimon, however, is very text-based halachic. Rav Rimon says, if you have such a minig in your family for many years, you can keep it. But if not, you should really do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you should follow Rabbeinu Yonah, that a pot on top of a plata, on top of a blech, should not be covered by a towel. So are there any kulas? So there are still some kulas. Hatmana is only when the towel, let's say, or the Dover HaMosef Hevel is touching the sides of the pot. Shulchan Aruch quotes a Rashba that I can take my pot, put a big plate on top of it, and then drape my towel over it so that my towel is not covering or is not touching the pot. That's going to be permitted. The reason why that's going to be permitted is because that's not called hatmana. Hatmana means it's touching. If it's not touching, so then it is going to be okay. Pause this, hold it for a minute. I want to come back to this in a couple of minutes. But it's accepted in Shulchan Aruch and Simen, Reish Nun Zayin Se'if Ches, that if the insulating agent is not touching the insulated pot, it's permitted. Another kula that we have by Hatmana is found in Simon Reich. Yes, Gabe, Mr. Falk from Cleveland.
Just to clarify, when you say not touching the pot, you mean like the cover, the lid of the pot is being considered part of the pot?
So the lid of the pot is not considered a pot. That was the next issue. Simon Reich and Zion Sif Beis. The lid of a pot is not part of the pot for Hatmana purposes. The reason why it's not part of the pot, Shulchan Aruch writes, and those of us who live in the Heights still appreciate this, that the reason why you cover a pot is l'shomro min ha'achbarim. Okay? If you live in the Heights, you still appreciate this. Hopefully, those of you who live in civilization don't have this issue. But there are these things called achbarim, and you want to make sure they don't get into your food. So that's why you cover the pot. Meaning, if I have some other reason why I am covering something, even though hasver no senes, it's insulating, but I could say, no, I'm doing it for a different purpose. So that is not called hatmana. As long as I'm legitimately doing it for a different purpose, to protect it from achbarim or the like, that's going to be okay. You know, there is a thing called kishka. You put kishka in the chalent, no? You wrap the kishka in tinfoil and you put the kishka in the chalent. Shouldn't that be hatmana? And shouldn't it be hatmana by a dover that's mosif heva? Because, like what we said, is we double jeopardy, right? We follow the Rabbi Yonah. If it's a hot thing underneath, so then, and the kishka is insulated, so that should be a problem. Nonetheless, the poskim say that it's fine. It's fine for a few reasons. Presumably, my kavana when I insulate my kishka is not that I want to insulate the kishka. My kavana why I insulate the kishka is because if I don't wrap my kishka in tinfoil, it's going to fall apart, no? It will all break apart. And you want a slice of kishka like this. You don't want kishka sand. You want real kishka. What about a naval pastrami? A naval pastrami, you cook it in water. In a bag, in water. Is there a hatmana issue? So, when we first got a naval pastrami, I called the experts in pomegranate in Brooklyn. I asked them, will the naval pastrami fall apart if you take it out of the bag? They said, I don't know. So I tried it. And guess what? It fell apart. So therefore, right, it should be okay to cook it in a way that it is in a way that it's inside the water, that should be okay. Again, we'll have some other svaras lahakel in a minute, but one svar lahakel is, if my kavana is not to insulate, my kavana is that it shouldn't fall apart or the like, so that's going to be okay. Another svar lahakel in all these cases is based on the machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. If you remember the Gemara in Daf Mem Amud Beis, this is Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi followed Rebbe to Beis HaMerchatz, and he wanted to heat up a thing of shemen, and Rebbe says, no, you can't heat up the shemen by just putting it into the Merchatz, because the Merchatz is a Kli Rishon, Tov B'Kli Sheni V'Tein. Put it into a Kli Sheni. Now, Rebbe Yehuda Hanosi could have said something better. Because if there's an issur of sticking my pachshol shemen into the merchatz, because it's usur mishum hatmana. I'm putting it into, I'm enveloping it, I'm surrounding it with the water in the merchatz, and that should be a problem. Based on this, the Chazon Ish says, you know what? There's no din of hatmana at all inside a liquid. Hatmana is only inside a solid. And then the Chazon Ish goes so far as to say he thinks hatmana is not inside an ochel at all. According to the Chazon Ish, if I envelop something in what is a food, so I put my kishka in a chalant. Chalant is food. So that is not a din of hatmana at all. Actually, Mizam and Arbach and the Shmir Shaz Kol Chasa Paskins this way. That there is no isur of hatmana inside a food. If I want to heat up my baby bottle, can I put the baby bottle into the water completely? Is that going to be an issue of Hatmana? So again, it depends on the Machlokes. According to the Chazon Ish, there's no Hatmana in Mayim. There's no Hatmana in food. So to put the baby bottle into water, the water is Mayim, it's food, etc. So that would be permitted according to the Chazon Ish. The Mishnah Berurah is Machmir on this. How do I paskin in this Machlokes, Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish? So in Rav Rimon Sefer, he gives you a whole bunch of poskim who are machmir like the Mishnah Berurah. Quite honestly, I got the Shiloh Maisa a couple of weeks ago. I don't have any real hachra. I don't know how to paskin. Can you put a baby bottle into water? I don't know. There's another thing today called sous vide cooking. No? Do I have to explain what sous vide is? Okay, so sous vide is two French words. You cook it very slow. You maintain the temperature between like 125 and 145 for many hours. And the meat that comes out is tremendous. It tastes wonderfully. I ate it one time. I ate sous vide. It was great. It's really good stuff. Is there a din of hatmana in sous vide? Right, what you're doing is you have the piece of meat. I understand the meat is like wrapped up, correct? Is there a din of hatmana in that? According to the Chazon Ish, it should be hetar gamor. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it could be a problem. Rav Asher Weiss has two tshuvas about sous vide. I believe the second one is written to Rabbi Ari Zetz of Tinek. Now he's in YU also. Originally he was machmir on sous vide based on the hatmana issue. Later on, Rav Asher Weiss was meko on the sous vide. I have the tshuvas. Again, it doesn't excite me that much. Again, if you hold like the Chazon Ish, so there's no issue of hatmana inside water. And the Chazon Ish again has this raya from the Gemara, which he feels is a very strong raya. There's another discussion about hatmana that appears at the beginning of Perakira. Not Perak Bamatom, then Perakira. The Rabbeinu Chanan and the Rav Haigon say that hatmana b'miktsas is hatmana. Meaning, if I have a pot, and just the bottom of the pot is covered by coals, that is hatmana. And therefore the Rabbeinu Chanano and the Reb Haigon says that when they talk about shehiya, the pot cannot be directly on the coals. The pot has to be elevated above the coals, so you need like some sort of tripod that's supporting the pot when the pot is on the coals. The Mechaber paskins this way, that hatmana b'miktsas is hatmana. The Chazon Ish feels that this is the more accepted p'sak l'halacha. This is the approach of the majority of Rishonim. Chazon Ish is machmir. Hatmana b'miktsas is hatmana. The Rama, however, writes, and this is found in Simen Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Aleph, the Rama writes that no, hatmana b'miktsas is not hatmana. The Pashtus in the Rama is that as long as there's a tiny bit open at the top, that is not called hatmana. Hatmana has to be bekulo, and kulo means kulo, kulo. Some of the achreinim speak about the nusach hatfil on yamim narayim. Milach al kol ha'olam kulo b'chivodecham. Right, how come I say kol ha'olam kulo? Right? Or Reb Nachman of Breslov says, Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzar ma'od. Isn't it redundant? Right? All of the all? Right? What's the pshat? So some say, if you just say kol, it might mean rubo kikulo. And you have to say kol kol, and that means kulo kikulo. The Gemara in Har Yisdaf Gimel sounds this way, actually. That a double kol means kulo. It sounds like from the Ramah, there's only a din of hatmana if the ganza thing, it's maloich al kol ha'olam kulo, if the entire thing is enveloped. That's what the Rama sounds like. The Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar, however, has a nusach that there's no hatmana b'miktsas, there's hatmana only if it's berubo o bekulo. So no one knows what that Rabbeinu Tam means. When he says rubo o kulo, what does that mean exactly? He's like hedging his bets. There's a steer in the Chaya Adam on this Nakuda. There's a steer in the Mishnah Brura on this Nakuda. If I have hatmana berubo, is that going to be a problem? It's unclear. This issue came up years ago when they discussed crockpots. If you look in the back of Archos Shabbos, Volume 1, there's a whole kuntres, b'inyan ha-crockpot. Kuf resh aleph kuf, pei aleph tes. That is crockpot. So there's an entire kuntres about the crockpot. Rav Rubin, who's actually the Rav of that shul when Nebuch the massacre that killed Rabbi Tursky's brother happened. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, Rav Rubin. He wrote the Orchos Shabbos. Rav Rubin sent the Shaila to many Poskim. What's the status of the crockpot? Is a steer in the Mishnah Brura? If it's covered most of the way or not? Crockpots are covered most of the way. No? Yeah, if you have the type of crockpot, especially where there are elements around the side, so it's going to be uncovered at the top a little bit, but most of it will be covered. Do I have to be machmir? So Rabbi Rubin felt that maybe if it's a dover that's mosif hevel, you have to be machmir and rubo. If it's a dover that's maimid hevel, it's only also if it's kulo. The poskim who wrote back to Rabbi Rubin, Rav Vosner was makel on the crockpots. He said no, right? B'nei Yisrael yotzim biyad rama. The Rama paskins that there's only hatman if it's kulo kikulo. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the last tshuva he wrote in his lifetime, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was machmir on the crockpots. I remember when this issue was going on, so I ate a Shabbos meal at Reb Schechter's house, and Reb Schechter said he felt you should be makel on the crockpot shayla. He felt it's not a problem. The Rama says it's mutter. It happened that Friday, the crockpot broke in the Schechter house. So Reb Schechter bought a new crockpot that didn't have this issue of, like, if you have a flatbed crockpot, you won't have the issue at all. That was the issue. Some of the poskim say that you can solve the crockpot issue if you put a layer of tinfoil on the pot. In that way, it's like an extra blech, and somehow that solves the hatmana issue. In Rabbi Bleich's Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 5, Rabbi Bleich says, this makes it worse. Hatmana, we noted from the Rashba, is only a problem if the item that I'm matmin with, if the towels, let's say, touch the pot. But if I have a plate on top and the towels draped down, there's no hatmana. So one could argue that a crock pot is not hatmana, because if the pot would actually touch the walls, you can never get the pot out. Therefore, maybe it's not hatmana, according to that Rashba. Once you layer it with tinfoil, so then you're making it worse. That's Rabbi Bleich's argument. So the later approach that many poskim developed is that crock pots can be solved if you put some marbles, or you put a tuna can, or a very thin can, at the bottom. What you're doing effectively is you're making it that air passes through and through, and that makes it like the majority of the crockpot is not mutman. That's the basic idea. Now, is this true? Did anyone ever do the math that the majority of the crockpot is not mutman? I don't know. I really don't know. But again, this was a conversation years ago about the crockpots. Again, I think all these conversations, they get like exciting for a couple of months, and then they sort of aren't so exciting anymore. So what we have basically just to review are a few basic machlokesim harishonim about hatmana. We have the machlokes Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yonah about the 0 plus 0. We have the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, which is machlokes Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rav Haigon on one side versus many other Rishon, the beginning of Parakir on the other side, about Hatzmana b'miktas. About that, the Mechaber is Machmir, the Ramah is Mekol, the Chazonish feels that you should follow the Mechaber. We have machlokes between the Mishnah Brura and the Chazonish about Hatzmana inside a liquid. That might be relevant for our sous-vide, our naval pastrami, etc. But there are other kulas as well, that if my svara for being matmin it is not for hatmana, my svara is like shelo yipnesu bo ha'achbarim, or that the kishka should not fall apart, or in the sous vide case, I think it wouldn't cook well, the other way, or it would also fall apart. So if that's the case, so then it's going to be mutter lekuli alma, etc. So these are some of the discussions of Hatmana. I think this takes us to the end of what I wanted to speak about in our Bishul B'Shabbos review. B'li Neder, I will have a Bechina that I will send to you tomorrow. Is there anyone here now who's not in the Shir WhatsApp group? Do I have to email the Bechina to people? I'd rather just send it on the WhatsApp group. Again, I'll send it out tomorrow. Please try to get it to me. I shouldn't say please. Get it to me by Monday. And if you want to know what time Monday, anytime Monday, that means midnight. Going into Tuesday, I need that Bechina. And it should not be too complicated. I sent you a previous Bechina that I gave. I am not guaranteeing that I will ask those same questions or I won't ask the same questions, but you have some sense of the types of questions that I ask. It's been a pleasure learning with you in this last month. We have a week off of Shiurim, then July's month begins. In July, beginning July 6th through August 13th, I will be teaching Bishul Akum.